Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to English with Kirsty. This is episode 195 of the podcast. If you're listening in January 2022, then Happy New Year. I hope it's a really good year for you. If you want to find any of the links that I talk about today, you can go to the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode195, because this is episode 195. Basically, I'm not going to do a New Year episode because sometimes I think they're really unimaginative because everybody's talking about the same things. But I do want to mention, if you are listening in January 2022, that there is a special offer at English with Kirsty at the moment. So you can have 20% off any English lessons booked in January if you use the code SNOWMAN22, because I hope it will snow this winter. We didn't have very much in December, so I would like to see some snow, and 22 because it's the year 2022, so Snowman 22. You don't have to complete the course in January, but you do have to book it and pay for it in January to be able to use this code for 20% off. And if you buy your English lessons in January, you can have a 20% discount. So if you want this year to be the year that you invest in yourself and your English, then have a look on my website. Have a look at the link from the show notes. The website is just englishwithkirsty.com. And I would like to help you with that if you think that I would be a good person to do that. I don't often have sales at English with Kirsty. I know some websites seem to have a sale every week and then you wonder what the real price of things is if they're always on sale. I don't often do that, but a lot of people have good intentions at this time of the year, and often they run out of motivation because they don't have a plan, or they don't know how to improve their English, or what they need to do, or you know, how to have a more structured approach or have some accountability. So I want to help people with that. And that's why I decided to do this in January. If you are listening later than January 2022, then if you want to find out if there are any other special offers or any other information relating to new courses or things like that, the best way to find that out is to sign up for English with Kirsty News. And the way to do that is also linked from the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode195. Okay, that's quite a long introduction this time, but I wanted you to know what's going on, because I know that many of my podcast listeners don't get the newsletter yet. So it's also an opportunity for you to sign up for that, because there's other information in there about learning English and useful resources and tips. And as I said, it's also a good way to find out what's happening at English with Kirsty. So to today's topic, we are talking about things that you need to do less of once you improve your language skills, because some things you always have to do them. You have to improve your vocabulary. There's always more that you can learn, even in your own language. There are new things to learn. And as your skills develop, you learn to make more complicated sentences, to use more advanced vocabulary. That's just an ongoing part of language learning. But there are some skills that you need to have that you won't need anymore once you've progressed past the beginner stage or the lower intermediate stage or the upper intermediate stage. Some things get easier, and that is good to know, because I often think that the hardest part of learning any language is the beginning. And then the more you improve, the less you need some of these skills and the easier using the language becomes. So you get a lot more of the benefits of learning a language when you've been doing it for a while. And sometimes you just need to remind yourself that to keep yourself going, and to know that some things that you have to do now are things that you can stop doing later on when you feel more confident with your language skills, or when you have a bigger vocabulary, that kind of thing. So I can really relate to this, because I have a language that I use regularly at work that I feel quite comfortable with. I speak German, but I also started a new language last year, and I've been working hard with that because I don't enjoy being a beginner at anything. But It's still there's still a comparison now because I'm much better at using one language than the other. And I can think of some of these skills that I needed at the beginning of my German learning journey that I don't need now. And I'm having to relearn them, relearn how to use these skills for Romanian, which is my new language. So I'm going to talk about three of these skills today, things that you need to learn to do, and then you can stop doing them a bit further along your road of learning a language. Because it's really good when you don't have to do them anymore. It's a nice feeling. It's one more thing that you don't have to think about. And there's a lot that you have to think about when you're speaking another language. So it's good when you can cross these things off and think, okay, I don't need that anymore. So the first thing is filling in the gaps when you're reading or listening to something or when somebody's telling you something. If you're using your first language or a language that you're very familiar with, you understand. You don't even have to pay attention to trying to understand the words because you do understand them. Unless somebody's talking about a subject that you've never heard of before or something that's really complicated. But in general conversation, you understand and you don't have to pay attention to what every single word means within a sentence. And when you're learning a language, it's really important to find things at the right level for you, because if you're a beginner and you understand absolutely everything, you're going to get bored. It will be too easy for you. But if you don't understand anything, then that's quite demotivating, because you won't understand any of the information and you'll probably feel like giving up. So it's really important to find resources that are at the right level for you, wherever you are in your learning journey. But it's also good to push yourself a bit as well. So you don't need to understand absolutely everything unless you're translating, perhaps. But often you can understand 70, 80, 90% and still know what's going on, still know what an article is about or a report is about. I think sometimes people get very hung up on understanding every single word, which isn't entirely necessary if the point of the exercise is just to understand what the article or what the report is about. So it's good to push yourself a bit to try something that's a bit harder. But it's also nice when you can get to the point where you don't have to think quite as much if you can read something and understand it without having to work out what some words mean from the context, because you do a lot of that when you are beginning to learn a language. You don't know some words, but you can guess what they mean, either because there are similarities between languages that you know and the language that you're learning, or because it's obvious from the context what the word probably means. And there is a bit of guesswork involved there, but often you can get a good idea if you understand the context. And it can depend on the type of material that you're using, because I was listening to the news the other day and I understood quite a lot of it, and then I found a podcast with children's stories and I understood considerably less, because that's not... literature has its own vocabulary, even if it's aimed at children. Some children's stories use older vocabulary, if they're older children's stories, as in the stories are old, not the children. And yeah, sometimes there are a lot more descriptive words in stories. So if you don't know all of those, but you know how to convey facts, then that will make a difference. But it really depends on what you're listening to. But whatever it is, as your language skills improve, you will need to fill in less information, because you will understand more naturally. So this feels nice when you don't have to work quite so hard. I remember when I was a bit better at German, I was at school, I read a lot of books and I could do it because I enjoyed reading the books. I got past that stage where it felt like I was doing a learning exercise. And I really enjoyed being able to read fiction books in German and just enjoy the story and enjoy the language, rather than seeing it as something I was doing to develop my vocabulary. But it takes time to get there. And then the second point, we have three. The second point is about breaking down what you want to say into the things that you can say. And so that the more you use a language, the better you become at using that language. The closer what you actually say will be to what you would normally say in your first language. You don't have to go through this process of reducing it to an easier level or using easier vocabulary, because the better your language skills are, the more you can say exactly what you want to say and really convey your personality and be who you are in the other language. At the beginning, that's more difficult because you don't have as many words available to you. So you have to work a bit harder at almost translating before you say something. So you know what you want to say, and then you have to translate it into this kind of easier language in the new language so that you can get your point across. And that is also a skill that you need to develop. And I had this skill once in German, and then I didn't need it so much, and then I am now having to develop it again. And it's really important to do that, because if you don't, people tend to make one of two mistakes. So the mistake that I make is that if I can't say everything, I don't say anything. So it's my all or nothing personality coming out. If I can't do it as well as I want to, I give up because I think I can't do it. And that's really bad, because people think that you haven't got anything to contribute then, or that you're not interested in them or the conversation, or you don't have a very interesting personality because you have nothing to say. And often none of these things are true. It's just that if you do this as I do, then you're giving a not very helpful impression of yourself. So it's important to think, okay, what is the main point of what I want to say? And how do I say that in the vocabulary that I have available to me at the moment? And I think that's the really important thing to remember here. It's for now. It's the limitations that I may have because I'm wherever I am in my language journey, either a beginner or a lower intermediate or even an upper intermediate, we all often look ahead to where we'd like to be, but it's just a temporary thing. Okay, these are the words that I have available now, and I want to make my point with those words, but it won't always be like that. So if you feel a bit disheartened by that, as I do sometimes, because I'd like to say so much sometimes and I'm not able to do it yet, it's good to remember that this is just for now. And then when your vocabulary improves, it will be easier in the future and you will be able to say more. But now it's better to say something, even, you know, 50% of what you'd like to say, even 30% is better than nothing. And that's a really important lesson for me to learn. And I think some of my friends and clients also need to hear this sometimes. It's okay if you can't say absolutely everything that you'd like to say right now. Do your best now, and then tomorrow, next week, next month, you'll probably be able to say more if you keep going. And the other problem, if you don't do this, the other problem that I've seen people having is that they try to think too literally and to translate exactly. How do you say exactly this thing in English? You know, like from their native language, or even English people learning other languages do this as well. This is what I'd like to say in English. I want to say exactly these words in another language. And that doesn't work a lot of the time, because languages are built differently. They have different rules, different structures. And if you do that, you might end up sounding like Google, because that's not the way in which somebody who uses that language would express themselves. So this can get people tied up in knots, because they're trying to stick too closely to their first language or to another language that they know. And they never really manage to communicate what they want to say, because it's hard to do it that way, and it's not a good idea to do it that way, and then you end up getting stuck. So in both of these cases, the important thing to do is to think about what you want to say, like the key point that you want to make or the key information, and to say that with the words that you have available to you at the moment. Maybe you might need to look some up if there's no other way around it, but it's better to at least try, because if you try, you might succeed. If you don't try, you definitely won't succeed, will you? Because you're not going to try. But I do know how hard it is when you just feel like shutting down, because you just think, oh, this is too difficult. If there's a lot that you'd like to say, especially in a business context, I think, because you want to appear professional and you want people to know that you do know this subject and you can answer the questions and you have a lot that you could say. And if you're missing some key vocabulary, that is sometimes really hard. And I think the pressure on you, if you're doing that in a business context, is harder. There is more pressure, because you want to show your customers or your colleagues that you are knowledgeable. But it's just a, you know, take it a step at a time, do what you can with what you have now, and know that it won't always be this hard if you keep working at it and keep improving. So that was the second point. And the third point is about finding other words. So sometimes, even with a good vocabulary, you may forget a word, you may not know a word, but the better your language skills are, the easier you'll find it to get round that obstacle. It's like if you know a place really well and a street is blocked, you can find another way to get to where you want to be, or you can use your you can use your navigator. But if there's only one way to get there and that way's blocked, then you have a problem. But the more words you know, the more familiar you become with a language, the easier it is to find another way around. And that's good. It can make you feel safe. It can make you feel confident about the language, because you think, oh, I've forgotten the word for this, but it's okay because I can describe it. I can find a synonym. I can tell the story in another way. Whereas when you're closer to the beginning of the language journey, then if you don't have that word, you don't have all the other words you need either. And sometimes it's really frustrating and you do need the dictionary. But finding other ways to communicate an idea is maybe something that you'll still need to do from time to time as your language skills develop. But it's not something that will be as difficult, because you'll have a lot more tools and words available to you the more you learn. So it's a good skill to have, but it's one that you'll need less frequently, and it'll be easier to do. So it's nice to think about that, and to know that it won't always be as frustrating as it can be when you're hunting around for that word that you don't have nearer the beginning. So all of these things, the reducing what you want to say, finding other ways to say things, filling in the gaps for things that you don't understand, all of these things can apply to whatever level you're at. I'm talking about a beginner, lower, intermediate level, but it also applies when you are starting to do more advanced things and to be in situations that require more of you, for example, at work. So it's not just about beginners. It can apply all the way through, because a lot of us have plans to be better than we are at the moment, to improve our skills and our knowledge. And it's good that the further you go along the language learning journey, the more of this will come naturally to you, and you won't have to think about it so much. And that's my point really today. It's a good thing, because you can begin to enjoy the language a bit more. You can feel more confident as you know more. And that doesn't mean that you should wait to enjoy it until you've reached a certain level, because I think it can be a really enjoyable process if you don't put yourself under too much pressure. But we do. A lot of us do put ourselves under pressure. And I wanted to make these points today to show that some of the things that we're doing now are not things that we'll need to do later. It's just a temporary thing. So if you have any more to add to this list, then let me know. What things did you used to do that you don't need to do now? Whether it's learning English while you're learning English or learning another language, what things do children do at school? Do they need to do that you don't need to do when you're an adult? What things become so much easier once you've developed the skill a bit better? And if I was talking about presenting yourself and being yourself, that's also something I've had to learn to do in German. I think I can do it relatively well in German now. It's still something that I'm working on with Romanian, really being myself in the language. And that's something that's really important for everybody who's using another language in business, in any kind of relationships. So if that's something that you do need help with, one-to-one lessons can be a really good way to do that, because you're only working with one person and you're not in a big group. So if that's something that you want to discuss, how I may be able to help with that, then you can send me a message either through the show notes page or by email, kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com. And remember, if you do it by the end of January 2022, then you can also have a 20% discount. So all of these things, they may not be new to you, but I think sometimes it's good to remind ourselves that these things won't last forever if we keep working at improving your language. It's good to know how to do them though. So it's okay saying these things are great and they're only for now, but it's important when you do need those skills that you develop them and you use them, because that will help you to progress faster. So I hope that was helpful. Let me know if you have any ideas of things that we can add to this list, either by leaving a comment on the website or sending me a message, either to Kirsty or to podcast@englishwithkirsty.com. I get both of them. And yeah, have a good week and have fun learning English or any other language that you are learning at the moment.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.